It's Tuesday, February 10th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast. Before we get started with all the news and interviews, we've got a few little alerts we've got to get out to the cannabis community. One has to do with a hearing tomorrow in St. Paul, Minnesota, for medical marijuana in the state of Minnesota. The hearing has been entered on our activist agenda calendar. You can find that at stash.normal.org/activist-agenda. or by using the icon on the right sidebar. There'll be a press conference at 11 a.m. Central Time, and then the hearing is at 12:30 p.m. Central Time at the state office buildings there in St. Paul for Minnesota Senate File 97 and House File 292. Also on the television airwaves tonight on public broadcasting, PBS, a series called Independent Lens. It's a documentary series. This one will be taking a look at the cases of the drug busts in Tulia, Texas, that were extremely racist in nature and were overturned with the help of attorney Jeff Blackburn, a member of the Normal Legal Committee and an interview guest on the Normal Daily Audio Stash back in March 27th of 2008. So check that out tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern on your local PBS channel, but check your local listings because sometimes the local PBS affiliates will change their schedules up. Now, speaking of Texas, there's an excellent drug law reform blog down there called Grits for Breakfast, and I was reading through it today when I came upon an interesting statistic that the writer there had noticed. According to a new report from the United States Sentencing Commissioning, alternative sentencing in the federal criminal justice system, a whopping 92% of drug convictions resulted in a prison sentence, compared to 39% for convictions on larceny, 60% convictions for fraud, and 57% convictions for white-collar crime. So it just goes to show that crime doesn't pay, or at least drug crime doesn't pay. Looks like if you're doing larceny, fraud, or white-collar crime, you might just get away with it. Finally, in other Stash news, I've added 5 new questions to the ongoing Stash Pot Quiz. You'll find the pot quiz on the right sidebar of stash.normal.org. A random question will appear every time you load the page. Or you could just look down the sidebar for the Stash Pot Quiz archives, where you can see the entire test. You can take all the questions. So in looking at some of the responses, I decided to ask a question regarding your current use of recreational substances, non-medical use, to see if there was any gateway theory going on here. 91% of you, of course, say that you use cannabis recreationally. 56% say you enjoy social stimulants like caffeine or Red Bull-type energy drinks. 51% of you say you like ethanol, that is beer, wine, liquor, alcohol, you know. And 31% of you say that you enjoy nicotine, like cigars or cigarettes or chew. So, other than cannabis, it looks like the only drugs people really like to get into are the legal ones. Of the illicit drugs that are not cannabis, the one that got the highest rating were psychedelics, like LSD, mushrooms, or peyote, which got 13% of the votes. every other sort of illegal drug like PCP, Special K, Xanax, Valium, heroin, OxyContin, cocaine, meth, and so on, all received less than 5% votes from the readers of the Daily Audio Stash. Now, coming up on today's Stash, we've got an interview with Bob Newland from South Dakota Normal for our Government at Work segment. He's going to give us a report on the two medical marijuana bills that had hearings last week in South Dakota. In our musical break, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, we've got Nikki Amini with Afro Man and a song called Marijuana. And in our second interview segment, I'm going to replay an interview from a few weeks ago from Cliff Schaefer describing the economic realities in fighting this war on drugs. Second interview segment was going to be a representative from Washington State who unfortunately had to cancel at the last minute. We'll have that interview with the representative on tomorrow's Daily Audio Stash. Well, folks, it's plenty of stuff to get to, so sit back and relax, spark up your favorite chalice. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. South Carolina's Sheriff Lott arrests 8 in Michael Phelps bong photo case. Columbia, South Carolina. New details have emerged about a party where Olympic champion Michael Phelps was spotted. Sheriff Leon Lott says the picture indicated a law was being broken in his jurisdiction. He said he couldn't ignore the violation just because Phelps is rich and famous. We've now learned that since investigators began trying to build a case, they've made 8 arrests, 7 for drug possession and 1 for distribution. These are arrests that resulted as the sheriff's department served search warrants. We've also learned that the department has located and confiscated that bong. Sources say the owner of the bong was trying to sell it on eBay for as much as $100,000. The owner, who wasn't even at the party, is one of the 8 now charged. Phelps is not one of those charged at this point, but the sheriff's department has strong evidence that matches the photo to the house on Blossom Street. As my southern friend Herb Age might say, dang, why he gotta be from the south? You try to kill that whole ignorant redneck image and then someone with a southern accent comes along and does stupid shit like this? It's good to know all the serious crime in Columbia, South Carolina has been solved so the county sheriff can dedicate resources to tracking down private residential pot smoking that happened weeks ago. Seriously. Let's get Sheriff Lott on the trail of Osama bin Laden. This cop was able to find a Ruhr bong in a city of 125,000 based on a photo taken indoors. So finding the tallest, most recognizable Arab on kidney dialysis in a cave should be a snap. Hell yeah, let's keep this story alive a little longer, Sheriff. And while I'm thinking of it, why did this story break in a UK tabloid? Did the US tabloids not want it? Did they not offer enough for it? Inquiring minds want to know. Oh, and by the way, Sheriff Lott, in case you managed to get finished with that whole smoking a bong in private case, We've got a little link at stash.normal.org for all the unsolved murders in your county that maybe you could take a look at if you manage to get enough time. Medical marijuana bills filed in Tennessee and Alabama. The bills filed in Tennessee are House Bill 368 and Senate Bill 209. And based on my first quick non-lawyerly read, I find this bill has a state medical marijuana registry card and primary caregivers. But it's got this definition for a terminal patient. That looks like it's got some problems to me. In the definition, it says a terminal patient means any human being afflicted with any disease, illness, injury, or condition from which there is no reasonable medical expectation of recovery, and which disease, injury, illness, or condition will, as a medical probability, result in the death of such human being within a short period of time. So does this mean that medical marijuana in Tennessee would only be available to those who are soon to die? Because that seems very contradictory to the opening whereas that says it is appropriate to ensure that seriously ill Tennesseans have the right to obtain and use marijuana for medical purpose where that medical use is deemed appropriate and has been recommended by a physician who has determined that the person's health would benefit from the use of marijuana in the treatment of terminal cases of cancer, anorexia, AIDS, chronic pain, spasticity, glaucoma, arthritis, migraine, or any other illness for which marijuana provides relief. So what exactly is a terminal case of pain, spasticity, glaucoma, or migraine that will result in death within a short period of time? Unless we're defining short period of time on the geologic scale, I hope I'm missing something here. Now, on the Alabama bill, this is House Bill 434, and again, my non-lawyerly take on this shows that it would give 2.5 ounces and 12 plants, gives a list of the typical conditions, cancer, glaucoma, multiple sclerosis, chronic arthritis, cachexia, chronic pain, fibromyalgia, migraine, HIV, AIDS, anorexia, seizures, severe nausea, but also, most interestingly, any other chronic or persistent medical symptom as defined by the Americans with Disabilities Act. So that's a good thing to see in the law there. It also seems to have a state registry card system and a particular piece of language that I like that protects workplace rights by saying, quote, an employee may not be terminated solely based on drug test results showing that the employee has marijuana metabolites in his or her system, if the employee is a qualified medical marijuana patient under this act and the marijuana metabolites in his or her system are the result of legitimate off-duty use of medical marijuana, end quote. So Tennessee House Bill 368 and Senate Bill 209, Alabama House Bill 434. Check our links at stash.normal.org for organizations that are fighting for these bills and how you can get involved. eHarmony wants to know, is pot smoking a dating deal breaker? Studies tell us that about 10 million Americans are regular marijuana smokers, which makes it more than a little likely that your active dating life will present you with these questions. Are you willing to date someone who is a regular marijuana user? If so, how much is too much? Are you fine with the weekend toker? The I only smoke if offered casual user? What is it about marijuana use that makes it a deal breaker for you? Is it the stereotype that pot smokers are lazy? Is it the illegality? Do you believe that it is a gateway drug? What if the marijuana is for medicinal purposes? Is that okay? If you are a marijuana smoker, when do you share these details in a new relationship? I'm married, so I don't really get to play, but if I did, these would be my answers. 1. I wouldn't be likely to date someone who was not a regular marijuana user. The non-token gal who can hang with my crowd comfortably is a very rare creature. 2. Too much is when she smokes so much she starts to dip into my stash. 3. Marijuana is only a deal breaker for me if she considers my use a deal breaker for her. 4. After age 40, all marijuana use is medicinal. And 5, well, if the big friggin' pot leaf on my hat doesn't introduce the topic on the first blind date, she must really be a blind date. By the way, if you check out the link to eHarmony's question here from stash.normal.org, check out the awful swag in the joint in the eHarmony photo. Now that's a deal breaker. Cliff Village, Missouri legalizes medical marijuana. A tiny Joplin, Missouri suburb has rolled itself a fat one. Cliff Village, population 34, or 55, depending on who does the counting, weighed in on the national debate about medical marijuana by passing its own go-ahead earlier this month. But before you bring your bong to town, consider that Cliff Village has no illusion that it has become a doobie sanctuary. Said Mayor Joe Blundell, quote, "This is symbolism, pure and simple. I would like to be the brave one who grows the first plant, but they've built a lot of cages for the people who stick their necks out," end quote. Rather, his ordinance was intended to show grassroots support for a measure that has been repeatedly introduced and consistently doomed in the Missouri General Assembly. Columbia passed a similar ordinance in 2004, and not just for show. Dan Vietz, a Columbia lawyer and the Missouri coordinator for Normal, said that the ordinance had the practical effect of, quote, "lowering the anxiety of patients about possessing marijuana," end quote, and that police in the college town have played along with the local law. Cliff Village is no college town. It's barely a town at all. It has no employees and levies no taxes. It gets about $1,300 a year in distributions of state fuel taxes for road repairs and $120 to $200 more in cable TV franchise fees. The 30-year-old mayor said the law came from his own frustration with pharmaceutical painkillers to deal with the aftermath of a train accident that left him in a wheelchair. Blundell said, quote, "When I got introduced to this flower, it not only alleviated my pain, it got me out gardening. I'm not just stoning myself out. It allowed me to function," end quote. Although Blundell says he's not smoking dope these days, he thinks the ordinance raises his profile too much to risk it. He wanted to make a statement. You know, it's like the media just can't resist a pot pun. This is a serious issue of people exercising their democratic process to end the unjust arrest of sick people using cannabis to make their lives tolerable. And this opening line about rolling a fat one just conjures visions of a Cypress Hill concert. Just once, I'd like to see any other serious public health issue addressed with the same tone, bias, and mocking pun headlines as medical marijuana. Imagine a new outpatient alcoholism treatment center opens up outside Joplin. A new facility for sloppy drunks who can't hold their liquor was dedicated today outside Joplin. Or women protest the closing of a Planned Parenthood location. Promiscuous sluts gather to protest closing of baby-killing clinic. Or a new study that uncovers hidden health risks for children with attention deficit disorder. Hyper kids' health in danger, new study says. I'm sorry to be coarse about it, and you know I don't believe any of those statements. I do it just to point out that news stories refer to us as potheads, imply that medical marijuana is just rolling up a fat one, and generally treat the issue with a heavy law enforcement culture warrior bias. But if the same standard were applied to other controversial health topics like alcoholism, abortion, or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, news reporters and editors would lose their job.
"76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies, the ego cries, the first day seeing the creatures left. It's an honest day's work. Yeah, 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 yeah.
If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org and let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
The afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny?
On a previous Daily Audio Stash, we spoke with Bob Newland from SODAC Normal, South Dakota's Normal chapter. And Bob is back here to give us the results of some hearings that happened up there in South Dakota. So, Bob, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Russ.
So we had two bills that we were paying attention to, House Bill 1127 and House Bill 1128. Let's give our listeners the rundown on what happened out there in Pierre.
Well, we put in two bills because we wanted to come at this two different directions and get two shots at giving testimony and two shots at press coverage. The first bill, 1127, was a comprehensive medical marijuana bill, which would have protected patients from arrest if they had a registry card with the Department of Health, and they could have a certain amount of marijuana on them, and they could have grow plants, they could have caregivers. It's like Montana's bill and several other states' bills. Then 1128 was simply a medical marijuana necessity defense. You can't currently in South Dakota go into court for possession of marijuana and say, I use marijuana because if I don't, I'll die. Even though it might be true, you can't say that in court.
So you had the hearings on these bills, and you had a lot of supporters out there testifying. When you look at the breakdown, supporters versus opponents, how did it break down there in the room?
Well, in the first committee, House Health and Human Services, where they heard the comprehensive bill, 1127, four Democrats voted for us, and one Democrat voted against us, and all the Republicans, all eight Republicans in the committee voted against us. And that's been our experience in the past. The Democrats are more likely to be our supporters. But it's, it's the sort of thing that we're used to as activists for this issue all over the country. They talk garbage. They talk babble. We come up there with 10 medical marijuana witnesses, people who are willing to say in public on the Internet, I use marijuana because without it, my condition is unmanageable. And the people on the committee say, oh, we have compassion for you, but you might as well eat Valium.
Yeah, a lot of compassion, but not going to do anything to stop them from being arrested and prosecuted.
Right.
So the other bill on the necessity defense, that wasn't heard in the same committee?
No, that was held on a different day in House Judiciary Committee. There happened to be one common member, and his name is Representative Nick Moser. He's a young guy, and he asks some fairly intelligent-sounding questions, and he even went to war a little bit with the Assistant Attorney General who testified against both bills. Actually said, well, I don't think that just because the Attorney General says this is a bad deal that we should necessarily vote against it. And the accomplishment there was to get the Assistant Attorney General back up to talk for another 5 minutes saying babble, and Moser said nothing further, and he voted against the bill. So it's entertaining from a satirical or sarcastic point of view to listen to these people talk, but in the end it's pretty frustrating when they tell you how compelling your testimony is and vote against your issue.
Yeah. So the Judiciary Committee also voted against the defense bill.
In that case, somebody voted to table it, and it was unanimous. Even the Democrats on the committee voted against this.
Hmm. Boy, it's so frustrating sometimes trying to get these things through, especially, like you say, when you have such compelling testimony. What's the next step for South Dakota Normal and the people there that are fighting for this right?
Well, the logical next step is to take it to the ballot, because we got 48% on the issue when it was on the ballot in 2006. However, just putting it on the ballot isn't the only consideration. You have to also consider promoting the issue during the run-up to the election to counter the lies that the Attorney General was going to tell about it. We didn't have quite enough money to counter all those lies last time. That's why we lost. And right now we have even less money than we had then. So if we're going to put it on the ballot, the main consideration is, will we be able to raise enough money during the next 18 months to have a credible shot at promoting this thing the way it should be?
I think it's just so close there in South Dakota that, you know, we get some money thrown that way and we could easily tip that state. I really hope we can get some fundraising going for you. And Stash listeners out there, if you've got any extra money to donate, head out to South Dakota Normal at sodacnormal.org. We'll put links to that up on our Stash blog at stash.normal.org. And drop a dime. Give them some money. Let's get this going. There's people in South Dakota that desperately need this. Bob, anything else you want to tell folks before we wrap it up?
Well, that sounds like a good idea. SodacNormal.org, SodacSafeAccess.net. They're actually both part of the same website. And give me an email. Get on our email list. I'm going to be sending out regular updates during the next couple, 3 months, reporting our fundraising progress and what we're going to do.
Excellent. Well, Bob Newland from Sodac Normal, thanks so much for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you, Russ.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your Toker Tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. We play something different every day on our Daily Toker Tunes, and Tuesday means variety. The Daily Toker Tune from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com today is by Ram Jam Productions, who bring you their unique brand of award-winning feel-good music. The song is Marijuana, featuring Afro Man. Ram Jam Productions are a small production company with big ideas based in England. Founded by Nikki Amini in 2003, Ram Jam Productions have been steadily growing ever since. Nikki has worked with some of the finest people in the music business. Ram Jam Productions have generated a huge amount of interest, enjoyed by those who like their variety of feel-good songs, which mix popular styles with great music and lyrics. Ram Jam Productions' sound is totally unique. Nicky Amini likes to experiment to bring something different out, which is what he believes music is all about. Marijuana is performed by Donovan Blackwood and features Afro Man, the multi-platinum selling artist who had the number one hit song, Because I Got High. Marijuana by Nicky Amini featuring Afro Man won 2007's American Marijuana Music Awards Song of the Year. Nicky hopes you enjoy the song as much as he enjoyed writing and producing it. Ram Jam Productions are always on the lookout for new talent, so if you'd like to contact Nikki or find out more about Ram Jam Productions, go to myspace.com/RamJamUK. Check out our blog at stash.normal.org, where you can enter 2009 Marijuana Music Awards and vote for your favorite songs. Here's Marijuana by Nicky Amini, performed by Donovan Blackwood, featuring Afro Man.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana. And in the evening time, when I'm alone, I smoke marijuana.
Zigzag, hold it up,
hold it up,
roll it up,
roll it up,
tighter and tighter
and tighter.
Grab your lighter,
you light.
Flick it, pull the smoke,
smoke.
Be cool,
don't show,
don't show,
don't show,
let it out. That's what getting high is all about. Look through the bottoms of your eyelids, feel like you did when you was a little kid. Happy, positive and mellow, spreading love on to the next fella.
What's up, huh?
Or lady, I look like I'm shady, cause my eyes are redder than Grady. You know the boys from my neighborhood, we look real bad but we feel so good.
And if I'm old and gray and I live alone,
what you gonna do, homeboy?
I smoke marijuana.
I'ma be right there with you, come on.
And in my garden I will grow my own.
You gonna grow it? Hey,
marijuana.
Sing it, sing it, come on.
Oh, marijuana.
Hey, speaking of which,
oh, marijuana.
Can you pass that over here, please?
Oh, I got my ganja.
I'm about to get my ganja. Yeah.
Dread like a rasta.
Come on.
Oh, I got my ganja.
I'm finna get the blunt. Yeah, man.
Dread like a rasta.
Let me hit it one time.
Oh, how I wish I was in Jamaica.
Hey, we can go there.
We dread like a rasta.
What's up?
executive director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
There are many, many people out there that are helping us to bring an end to adult marijuana prohibition, and I want to bring one on the stash today, a man whose posts I've been reading forever on the internet, but this is my first time getting a chance to talk to him in person. It's Clifford Schaefer, who's the founder of druglibrary.org and marijuanabusinessnews.com, and a keeper of so many documents on the drug war and its history. Clifford, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about how we're kind of in a perfect storm right now for drug law reform, similar to what we had in the 30s when alcohol prohibition was ended, not necessarily because people got smart about it, but because they just couldn't afford it anymore. And so I wanted you to maybe discuss that a little bit with me about what you feel is this economic impetus we have now to end adult marijuana prohibition.
Well, there's, as you said, it is a perfect storm. We're going into some rather unprecedented times financially. And let me just give you a couple of highlights of what I see. Here in California, as you probably already know, marijuana has been legally on sale for more than 10 years now. There are hundreds of stores openly selling it. They have, they advertise marijuana specials in the newspaper. They have regular storefronts and strip malls, and some of them even have neon signs in the window. Well, the really interesting part of that, of course, is that it hasn't really bothered anybody. It's not considered a major problem, even in cities like Los Angeles, where there are literally hundreds of stores selling it. And it hasn't really bothered anybody. The stores sell more than $1 billion worth a year of marijuana, and they pay more than $100 million a year in sales taxes. Sales taxes are the only taxes that apply. Now, this has been going on, and now we reach the budget crisis. California is currently $40 billion in debt for the year 2009. They are cutting essential services such as school lunches for kids. And they're cutting it from kids who, for many kids, it is the only hot meal they get. They are also issuing IOUs to taxpayers.
Yeah,
in other words, if you do a tax refund from the state of California this year, you're not going to get any money. You're just going to get a promise to pay. Now, the taxpayers in California, I think, are going to reach a unanimous conclusion. And that is that they are going to say that, A, they want their money, and, B, they want kids fed before we waste any more money on flying helicopters to find marijuana in a program that doesn't stop marijuana anyway. I mean, we've got a they're spending billions of dollars a year on this, and this is the largest cash crop in California, an agricultural state. So it's not happening. They're going to run out of money here very soon. By this fall, I would bet that you would see the marijuana helicopters grounded completely.
Yeah, it's an amazing time, you know. And in the past, too, we've had economic difficulties before. And those of us in the reform movement have oftentimes tried to point out how much money is on the table there from a regulated and taxed cannabis market. What can we do as reformers now to make this much more obvious to the people who aren't on our side?
Well, we're going to have a wonderful opportunity because these people are going to be agreeing with us naturally. I don't know what it's like in your state, but most states are going to be cutting essential services. In many states, the unemployment fund has already run dry. We're not even at the end of January, and they're having to get their unemployment funds from the federal government. There was a time when we had the luxury of shifting things around and believing that we still had the money there. This year, everybody is going to be saying no more. And what we can do is simply give people the correct choices. Show them what the choice is. The choice is a choice between school lunches for poor kids or flying helicopters. The choice is between you getting your money that the government rightly owes you, the money that you gave them and they've held all this time, or spending money on marijuana interdiction, which doesn't work. And if you give the people those choices, what do you want? Do you want the helicopters to fly, or do you want your money? And in every case that I've seen so far, they will say, screw the helicopters, give me my money.
You would think so. Now, the other side of the equation, of course, are the politicians who are always reluctant to do anything to look soft on drugs or soft on crime. Do you think we can get enough momentum from the people here to overcome that natural resistance from the politicians?
I don't think this will be a political question anymore. I really don't. It's a political question if you've got money. Okay, it may be a political question on whether you write the check for your mortgage every month if you've got the money. But if you don't have the money, you don't have a choice. From now on, this is going to be run by the bean counters. And the bean counters go by what's on the paper. They go by what's in the bank account. You cannot write a check for something that isn't there. So it doesn't really matter what they want. You just can't write a check for it.
Mm. You know, I have a history of working in the corporate world, and I discussed this with you in email as well, about how I see that little pet programs get saved is they get folded into something that's a cannot-kill type of program. So do you think that these politicians, you know, facing this problem with their budgets might try to hold on to marijuana prohibition by folding it into, you know, budgets for meth labs and coke interdiction and such like that?
They probably will. In response, activists should get the numbers together and show very clearly what these costs are. Get a list of every cost of the drug war. Like, for instance, in a few minutes on Google, I looked up the cost of what it costs to run a Bell Ranger helicopter for a day. And then I compared that with figures I found for what it costs for school lunches. And I found that flying a helicopter for one day will provide lunches for 1,360 kids.
Mm.
And it goes really beyond that, because if we have taxpayers who are not getting the money the government owes them, those people are going to be very unhappy, and they understand the argument immediately. With them, it's a real thing. With them, it's not something you can fold into a big budget. They're saying, give me my money.
No kidding. So we might be able to get the politicians here at the state level to recognize that, you know, budgetarily, you know, as far as the budget goes, they just cannot afford to do this anymore. What about at the federal level? It's still going to be illegal federally. And how are these states going to get around that sort of prohibition?
Well, California has already gotten around that sort of prohibition. As I mentioned earlier, there are hundreds of stores selling it here, and the situation is that the federal government just doesn't have enough horses and men to come enforce these laws in any state. Well, you might pick a little state, they might be able to do that, but certainly not within California. They just don't have enough manpower to do it, even under the old budget. So the federal government is really going to have to go along with what the states do. And if the states decide that suddenly they just don't have enough money to put marijuana users through the court system anymore, the federal government really can't force them to do it. And they could do something like California is doing, which amounts to kind of a benign neglect. California just isn't putting that much emphasis on it anymore, and there's no way you can go out and make local Los Angeles cops bust marijuana dispensaries if they don't think they have time for it.
Well, it's very, I guess it's the silver lining in this dark cloud of economic troubles we're having here in America. But again, maybe we'll have a progressive revolution like we did in the 30s. We'll get rid of the prohibition like we did in the 30s. And maybe the bright days are just ahead of us. We can only hope.
I think pretty much at this point it's a foregone conclusion. And it just comes down to numbers. You can talk all you want about how you want to do this great campaign to stop marijuana planting or anything, but, you know, you got to put gas in the tank to get that helicopter off the ground. You know, you got to pay for gas in the police cars, and at this point it looks like they're going to be firing police and putting cars back in the garage. So, you know, this is going to come down to a real hard set of choices. And I think the American public is going to agree with everybody else, agree with the marijuana people, that this is a waste of money. It just can't go on. We just don't have the funds for this anymore.
Well, I can't wait for that day. It's a beautiful concept to think about, that it may just be economics that end prohibition, any, you know, more so than morality or justice or anything like that. And hey, whatever it takes, I'm all for it. Well, Clifford Schaefer is the webmaster behind marijuanabusinessnews.com, and also the founder of druglibrary.org. If you haven't been out to druglibrary.org, get out there. It's all your basic research you need to know about this stupid marijuana prohibition. And Clifford, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Wes.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another reminder to watch PBS on your local affiliate for Independent Lens, a documentary on the Tulia, Texas drug bust. This will be 10 o'clock Eastern time, but check your local listings for your time in your station. Also, tomorrow, medical marijuana hearings in Minnesota at the State House. And on Friday, a hearing for a Montana House Bill 475 and a lobby day in Vermont for decriminalization. Check the activist's agenda at stash.normal.org/activist-agenda for more details. And if you'd like to get your event announced on the activist's agenda, send an email to stash@normal.org with the subject Agenda Request. And we'll make you a publisher. You can get your events published on our calendar. Thanks for downloading the podcast and helping to make us the most popular news and affairs podcast in the cannabis community. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.